Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at PO Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome each of you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. I know some of you may be out of your routine. I believe it's Columbus Day, a holiday, and so some may be missing the program because they took the day off because they warranted that with whom they may be employed by. But we welcome you today. And as always, we greet you in Christ's name. I trust and I pray that your heart will be profusely, profoundly enriched by the Word of God, and that His Word would have a place of residence in your heart and in your life. Amen. Before we go into the program, I want to play a beautiful song today simply entitled, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and truly, truly our Lord is faithful to us today. Amen.
Thine own dear presence
to cheer and to guide your strength for today. And I'd hope for tomorrow. Blessings of mine with 10,000
Aren't you glad today for his great faithfulness? His compassions are renewed every day. Jeremiah declared in the book of Lamentations. I want to remind you of the upcoming event in Dallas, Texas, March the 16th. You can go to the website, hearthewatchman.com. Hearthewatchman.com. And there you'll find the information regarding the meeting in Dallas in March of 2016. And the speakers that will be there, I will be there myself, and we look to see many of you there at that meeting, and we're looking for God to manifest himself through an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, a deluge, a freshet, a flood of his power, amen. I want to speak to you today on the rise of demonic activity. The rise of demonic activity. Reading in Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Again, I want to speak to you today on the subject of the rise of demonic activity. The more we reject God, the more God rejects us. At the end of the day, you have a void. You have a vacuity. You have an emptiness. And the question is asked, who will fill the void? Who will fill the emptiness? Who will fill the vacuity? That's right. Satan is going to fill that void. We see in our scripture text that Paul was a man of prayer. The Bible is clear here in verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. This had been the protocol for some time, because if you'll go up to Acts chapter 16, where we are reading from, and look at verse 11, and therefore, loosening from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a river where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which were resorted thither. this was another day that Paul and Silas with others were going to a place to pray, which we see was by a river and where prayer was made. So Paul and Silas were going to pray. Let me say today, you cannot encounter demonic activity in the natural. The only way to encounter demonic activity effectively and win is through prayer and fasting. As I said, Paul and Silas, it is evidence that these were men of prayer. Samuel, in 1 Samuel 12:23, said, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." I believe it's a sin to not pray, because that's what Samuel said. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. I believe people of God have a heart's desire, along with an unction, to be a people of prayer. It is without doubt that God answers prayer and that we must pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said, "Pray without ceasing." James 5:16 said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Psalms 34:15, the psalmist said, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries." We know we need to be people of prayer. Jude, verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." There's no greater way to pray than to pray in the Spirit of God. Amen. Paul and Silas and others were going to a place of prayer. But the Bible said a certain damsel or a certain girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Spirit of divination. The Greek says it was a doorway, a portal to another world. The original text read, "A spirit of Python." We're all familiar with the big serpent called a python. A python was a serpent that was destroyed, according to Greek mythology, by Apollo. We know that these pythons are known as constrictors, just like this spirit of divination. It restricts. Demonic powers restrict. Demonic powers ultimately kill, just like the python snake. I want you to get that. The original Greek there of the word divination meant a doorway to a portal or to another world. And the original text read, "A spirit of Python." And it was a serpent. It's related to, as I said, Greek mythology, but Satan is no myth. The serpent in the garden was no myth. Genesis 3:1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." Don't ever underestimate the craftiness, the shrewdness, the subtlety of Satan and his minions. Genesis 3:1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." He's cunning, he's crafty, he's full of all subtlety, he's very subtle, he's very creative, transforming himself into an angel of light, making things to appear one way when in reality they are yet another way. Revelation 12:9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Satan beguiled Eve. Because he beguiled her, God in Genesis 3:15 said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the other world that men desire to encounter. It is a demonic world. It is an evil world. It is a vile and a wicked world, and that's why you need to stay in the Spirit of God and walk in the Holy Ghost in your walk with God. This young lady was a slave. She was in bondage. She was held captive by this demonic entity, this demonic power, this spirit that had possessed her. The Bible made it clear, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. What was unique about this woman, this girl? She brought her masters much gain. The devil will make you believe there is gain or prosperity in sin, but there's no such thing. This girl was in bondage, and probably if the truth was known, she wanted deliverance. But not only was she a master to Satan, she was a master to these men. If you look at verse 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, these men were Satanists, Satan worshipers themselves. They too were under a type of bondage as she was. I like to read from Luke 4:31, talking about Jesus, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. They were all amazed, spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Jesus was constantly encountering demonic activity everywhere that he went. It's like the man at the Gadarenes that Jesus encountered. Those demons, or the demonic's name was Legion, for we are many. They cried out to him, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, that thou torment me not? They understand in the end they're going to be tormented in eternal hell and separation from God. This young lady, possessed, controlled by this demon, he was following Paul, Silas, and a small crowd. She was persistent, and she was being used by the demon, and she was crying out mockingly. She was crying through this demonic spirit, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You see, the devil always makes a mockery. That's why I'm concerned about ministers and ministries who the world mocks and make fun of, because they know they're charlatans. They know they're pretenders. There are those that have the legitimate goods and those who are professors and not possessors. Don't think Satan doesn't know the difference in a man of God and a charlatan. Don't ever think demons don't know the difference. Don't know the difference between the true anointed of God and the charlatans. Satan, his demons, they recognize those who have the goods, and they know those who do not have the goods. When the seven sons of Sceva, Acts 19, they were going to try to do an exorcist. They took on those that had evil spirits. And they said, "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches." The evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man with whom the evil spirit was demon-possessed leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. The devil beat the mess out of them and stripped them of all their clothing. But the demon speaking from this man, speaking the man in whom had the evil spirit, said, "Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you?" The devil recognizes the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And that's why I said just a moment ago, I'm concerned about all of the pretenders, all of the charlatans that exist. The devil knows them, thus he mockingly uses them. If you didn't have the Holy Ghost, you would have been in agreement with this young damsel. That's right, that's right. These men are the servants of God. You better know who you embrace. You better know who you endorse. People call me, email me, tell me about so-and-so. Tell me about so-and-so. I don't have time to vet all of your ones you listen to. You better know by the Word of God and by the Holy Ghost. Her persistence grieved Paul. Verse 18. And this did she many days. Not just a few days, but many days. She persistently was going around following Paul and Silas and saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." But the Bible said, but Paul being grieved, he was grieved in his spirit. He was grieved in his spirit and by the Holy Ghost. And he turned and he said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach." No, that's not what it says, does it? "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." In Acts 19, the demonic man said, "Paul I know and Jesus I know." Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I too have cast out demons in my ministry. Believe you me, I never tried to feign Hebraic roots or anything of that nature and say, "In the name of Yahshua HaMashiach," I've always said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out. In Jesus' name." People amaze me how they trivialize the name of Jesus Christ, how they do things, how they say this and they say that. People need to get buried in the Word of God and baptized in the Holy Ghost. This woman was a soothsayer. Today she'd be called a medium. She brought her master's money. You hear me? Today we would term that she was fortune telling. Let me help you here. She was making these men a fortune. Do you hear me? She was fortune telling. She was making these men a fortune at her expense. She was a medium. She brought her master's money. Isn't it amazing when it's all said and done, it evolves around money? At the end of the day, it's about money. When her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, when the hope of their money-making, fortune-telling, demonic-possessed girl was delivered, they got upset. Listen to Paul in Ephesians 4:18 and 19. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness or the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. When you start working in demonic activity, that is all uncleanness coupled with greediness. That's why when I watch prosperity preachers, I want to puke. They work all uncleanness with greediness. Demonic possessed people are filthy fleshly. Their flesh is filthy. Paul said, giving themselves over to lasciviousness. Their temple, which is to be the temple of God, is no longer a holy temple, but a temple of wantonness, a temple that is set for all types of fleshly desires and pleasures. They know no restraints. They do whatever their carnal nature dictates. They are a riotous person, like the prodigal son was a riotous. He lived a riotous life, so debased, so debauched, where we find him in the book of Luke in the pig pen, literally, eating husk with the pigs, the swine. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I know my preaching is old school. I never will repent or make an excuse for old school preaching. That's what gets the job done. These salt soap peddlers out there, their churches are full of adulterers and adulteresses, fornicators, drunkards, sodomites, and there's no deliverance. They come in one door, they go out the other door the same way they came in. When you encounter Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, there's going to be a change in your heart. There's going to be a change in your life. You won't be the same when you get in the presence of God, amen? You won't be the same. Man, I feel like preaching. I've not preached in a long time. I've been doing a lot of teaching. I feel like preaching. There's a different anointing in preaching. There's a greater authority. There's a greater depth and breadth of the anointing. It's not intellectual. It's power, Holy Ghost power, to set the captives free. Amen. Even the Catholic Church, the conservative bishops are saying we're having more witchcraft, more exorcisms. We're having a flourishment of demonic activity. Something's going to fill the ungodliness. The more we reject God, the more God rejects us, and somebody's going to fill the void. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, said, neither give place to the devil. Verse 27, excuse me. Neither give place to the devil. Some people don't realize they're giving place. That means to make room for the devil. If you have a dining room table or a coffee table or an end table and you need more room for something, you make place for it. You don't make place for the devil. It bothers me that ministry is so closely acquainted, associated with money, and we see the same thing in demonic activity. We witness the same thing in demonic activity: money, gain, prosperity, giving themselves over to uncleanness and greediness. In Ephesians 4 and 19, Paul said, past feeling. When you're past feeling, you don't feel conviction anymore. You don't feel restraint anymore. You get loose. You get liberal. Your theology gets loose. Your mindset gets loose. Your interpretation gets loose. Your perspective becomes loose. When you walk with God, you walk in His Word, and you walk in the Spirit, your perspective stays very narrow. It's not broad, but it's narrow. Yes, your detractors like mine will say, well, you're narrow-minded. Well, the way is straight and the way is narrow, and few there be that find it, Jesus said. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We got too many people who say, Lord, Lord, but they don't abide by the word of God. Luke 6:46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Homosexuals say, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. Adulterers, adulteresses, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You're lying. I said you're lying. You have a lying spirit in, on top of your adultery, on top of your sodomy and your drunkenness, whatever the case might be. You have a lying spirit that now has taken possession of your life. You know what I find powerful in these passages in the Synoptic Gospels? No demon ever lied to Jesus. You can't lie to the truth. I said you can't lie to the truth. Great God in heaven, I feel the Holy Ghost. You can't lie to the truth. Do you hear me? The truth is the truth. When Jesus encountered those demons, he said, what is your name? Legion. They would say, don't torment us before our time. Don't make us leave this portion of the country. Why? They knew he had the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to do whatever he said. They knew it. That demoniac at the Gadarenes. They knew the authority. They knew who they were standing in the midst of. They knew they were standing in the presence of God Almighty. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Didn't say Yeshua HaMashiach. I mean, what the demon said. He said, Jesus. Don't torment us. Jesus said, what is your name? The demon said, my name is Legion, for we are many. They've had that gal so many drugs. In today's generation, doped him up, flatlined his brain. And Legion besought Jesus much that he would not send them away out of the country. You'll read all this in Mark chapter 5. This whole discourse is in Mark chapter 5. This man was a cutter. He was crying and cutting himself with stones. He dwelt among the tombs. Jesus said, I'm not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the living. The God of the dead dwell in tombs and mausoleums and mortuaries. Demons are territorial. They asked, the Lord said, that he would not send them away out of the country. Don't make us leave this part of the country, Lord. Now, I'm not sure how it sounded. But it says, all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine. I wonder what legion. Legion means 6,000. I wonder what 6,000 voices would have sounded like. I know some of you people think I'm crazy, but I read word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. I wonder what that chorus of voices sounded like at one time. You think it scared Jesus? I don't think so. The Bible says the next thing Jesus did, he gave them leave. They knew they were coming out. They knew they were coming out. Why? They were in the presence of the Son of the Living God. They had to come out. So knowing they were coming out, they said, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Let me tell you something about demons. When they leave one person, they're going somewhere else. They're not walking around, twiddling their thumbs. They're looking for a place of residence. Hear me well today. Demons are looking for a place to live, to reside, to take up abode, to live in your vessel. You'll remember in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 43, Jesus said, when the unclean spirit, I want you to notice, they're always unclean, they're filthy. That's why people do some of the most damnable, abominable things that men could ever do. Like a 40-year-old man molesting an 18-month-old baby. What vile, filthy, unclean spirit dwells in a man to do something like that? He's a beast, he's an animal without God. Those demons were content to go dwell in another animal called a swine. Demons. Demonic activity. I watched a demonic last night on 60 Minutes. His name was called Barack Hussein Obama. I could see the demon in his eyes. I could see the demonic entities in his face. Remember, I want to emphasize this again, they're unclean, they're perverted, they're distorted, they're maligned to no end. Matthew 12 and 43, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. I will also say this. I could be wrong. I stand to be corrected. Every time I read about demons, they're in the male vernacular. Then goeth he, that's pronoun is he, and taketh with himself, pronoun himself, seven spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it also be unto this wicked generation. I'm telling you, demonic activity is going to flourish. It's going to arise more than you could ever imagine. And if you don't walk with God, if you don't walk in the Spirit of God, you won't know what you're encountering. You won't recognize it. I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked if those that were with Paul the faction, the crowd that was praying, that someone may have said, she must be a believer. I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked if someone in the crowd said, she, this damsel, she must be a believer. Why? Because she's saying these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. I'm trying to get you to hear the deception, the duplicity, the subtlety, the chicanery of Lucifer, Satan, his minions, his cohorts, and those who are led by him. It's so important because 2 Corinthians 11 14, 15, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan has his ministers. You've heard me say that scores of times. If his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Everybody has works, ungodly works or godly, but everybody has works. Jesus had works. I must work the works of him while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. John 9, verse 4. Everybody has works. At the great white throne judgment, the Bible said that the books were open, and the book of life. And every man was judged according to their works. Revelation 20, verse 13. Every man is judged according to his works. These are the wicked dead judged according to their works. The righteous dead will be judged according to their works. To every church in the book of Revelation, all seven churches of Asia Minor, I know thy works. He said that he prefaced every statement before he had adjudicated or judged them. He said, I know thy works. These demons, they're filthy. That's why in this underworld, you have some of the greatest debasement, debauchery, degradation that a Christian can't fathom. A Christian does not go there. If a Christian got saved, especially at an early age, and was never able to go out into the depths of the rancor and the rancid elements of sin, and they got washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, their mind will never be able to go there and get there because they're sealed by the Spirit of God. There are those who have had lives inundated with sin, debauchery, debasement, degradation, filth, immorality, to no end. Just like the demoniac at the Gadarenes. Jesus got through with him. He was clothed and in his right mind. God restored his mind when he delivered him. God saves a man. He doesn't brainwash a man. A man can recall his past. My past is a reminder to me of how bad I was. My past is a reminder to me how great and gracious God was to me. My past is a reminder to remind me where I came from, how vile I too was, and how great the mercy and the grace of God was in my life and is in my life to this day. People don't realize you work with people every day. They're demon-possessed. There may be no outward manifestation. This woman, this girl, she followed Paul, the Bible said, many days. Finally, Paul had enough of it. And when he had enough of it, guess what? Yep, he got in trouble. He said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Again, there's the word he came out. She was a female. The demon was, the demonic demon was termed he. He came out the same hour. Now, we don't know to what degree when he came out of her, what he did to her physically. You say, now why would you say that? Because we have incidences in the Bible where when demons were cast out, they rent people's bodies. There was a manifestation of the demon coming out. In Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. Or he dasheth him, or makes him fall down. And he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. They could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. So when the son was brought to Jesus, the spirit tore him. The boy fell on the ground, and he wallowed. He was foaming at the mouth. Jesus said, how long is it ago since this came unto him? The man said, of a child. A child. We dedicated every one of our children in a matter of days after they were born. I don't want to give place to the devil. I just said that in Ephesians 4:27. What does the demon do? Oft times it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, personal pronoun, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And he was coming to the house. His disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Paul was a man of fasting. Paul was a man of prayer. In 2 Corinthians 11:27, he said, in fastings often, my wife and I, we fast every year. Every year we fast. You say, why do you do that? I never know what I'm going to encounter. And I want to be ready. You see, none of us know what tomorrow might bring. We don't know what we're going to encounter. This damsel, this young girl, she too could have been physically rent or convulsed. Nearly every encounter I've had in casting out demons, when there was a deliverance, most times people threw up right there in the sanctuary, right there in the house of God. They puked up something. I've had numerous encounters. I've seen some ugly stuff. I don't go looking for it, but I want to be ready when I have to encounter it. I want to be prepared. Watch and pray. Jesus said in Matthew 6, moreover, when ye fast, above tithing, above praying, fast. Fasting is a New Testament channel of Holy Ghost power, and few people bother to use it, because as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. So they're eating and drinking. People will go to a restaurant in your city, stand in line for hours to get in. But let the pastor call for a time of prayer meeting. Nobody stands in line to pray, but they'll stand in line to eat. My wife's birthday is tomorrow. I took her Saturday night out to eat dinner for her birthday. And we had to wait in line. And one of the guys there said, man, they need to add on to this building. And I just smiled and didn't even bother to comment. But as a pastor, my lowest attended services was always when I said, we'll be praying this night or whatever the service might be this day. Numbers fall off. I mean, they go off the chart down, down, down. Why? People don't want to pray. Prayer's work. Prayer is work. You encounter demons. You encounter powers. You encounter darkness. You never know what you're going to encounter. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. Paul didn't say, Wait, I'll be right back. I got to go pray. I got to go fast. I got to get a hold of God, but I'll be right back. No. He turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. Come out of her. Yeah. come out of her. Some of you would say, I don't know what to do. Y'all pray for me. I don't know what to do. I'm not trying to be funny here. We don't know what we're going to encounter. You better be on guard. You better be prepared when you encounter something like that. There came a point in time where Paul got fed up. Paul was fed up. Come out of her. I won't get to finish this today. I'll pick it up tomorrow. You know in the spirit, sometimes, some circumstance, some situations, you know in your spirit there's demonic activity right here, right there, right now. You know it. You sense it. It's in the person. It's in the moment. It's in the contract. It's in the you've heard the cliche, the devil's in the details. Yeah, he's there all right. You better believe it. All the legislation in Congress, full of the devil. He's in the details. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That legislation is inspired by hell and passed by demonic entities, demonic possessed people. Everybody was talking about why McCarthy all of a sudden abandoned the Speaker of the House position. Well, it was rumored he was having adultery, committing adultery with the lady here in North Carolina, Renee Elmers. Rumored to no end, to be honest with you. That's why the Congressman Jones from North Carolina wrote the letter. He said, if there are any skeletons in the closet, you better not run for a Speaker of the House. That place is so full of demons of hell, it begs description. Washington, D.C. That's just one of the territories that the devil has absolute control over. There, Las Vegas, San Francisco, there are places. That's why the demoniac said, Legion, to Jesus, don't send us out of the country. Don't make us leave here. We like it here. We like it in Washington, D.C. We have so many people we possess, we control, we dictate, we obliterate, we assassinate this nation because we have authority in this district. We have authority because these men and women have submitted their souls to us, and we dictate what goes on in this nation by our demonic presence and infilling. Don't you ever underestimate the power of Satan and hell and his minions. Because the Antichrist, I'm so sick and tired of people saying, there ain't no Antichrist. His coming is after the working of Satan. Don't ever estimate the power of sin. There's coming a man that's going to be the personification of it.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.